Listen to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Shoot the Defence on FNX, brought to you by My Sportswear, Youth Energy and Save Association. I'm your host, Sel, and this is a very special edition of Shoot the Defence, as I had the opportunity to talk to Peter Philopoulos, who is the CEO of Perth Glory FC. Now, as you are well aware, we live in an era where there's hardly any patience in football. Managers are sacked after 4 weeks, some managers are sacked after 11 days. It happens. Now, I have to take my hat off to Perth Glory and Peter for their dedication and determination to put things right at the club. I talked to Peter about the club's four-year plan, the club's youth policy, attendance figures, and plans for the season. So here it is. Peter, great to have you on the show. How are you doing this morning?
Very well in nice, sunny Perth, Western Australia. And thank you for having me on.
Hey, it's an absolute pleasure, absolute pleasure. Well, Peter, a bit of background information for our listeners' benefit. I know Perth Glory were once managed by former Liverpool midfielder Steve McMahon and had friend of the show Brian Dean up front. Now, I understand you've had over two decades worth of experience in the sporting industry, but is Perth Glory your first major role in soccer?
No, it's not, actually. I began my career in sports over 23 years ago, when I became the youngest CEO of a club called South Melbourne Football Club, which is also the club that Ange Postecoglou was coaching at when I was there at the time, who's the national soccerers coach at this present moment. But, South Melbourne was famous back then because it participated in the first ever inaugural FIFA World Cup against Manchester United and Vasco da Gama. So we know that this is not my first role in soccer.
Excellent, excellent. I remember that tournament because as a Man United fan, we got absolutely torn to pieces.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, South Melbourne is still a famous club because, you know, people recall how admirably that formed at the World Club Championships in Rio de Janeiro against clubs like your club, Manchester United. And, you know, whilst they're not in the A-League at the moment, they're still a very high-profile club in Australia.
That's right, that's right. Well, you've been at the club for a little over 2 years and was entrusted with resolving the club's salary cap issues. Can you give our listeners a bit of info about the situation and where the club is positioned now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did come in the most tumultuous, a period of turmoil for the club. Unfortunately, you know, in Australia, we are governed by a regulated environment of a salary cap. And unfortunately, the club at the time got themselves in a little bit of spot of bother with a salary cap. And there were some heavy sanctions that came about as a result of that, which, you know, really placed the club, you know, at the crossroads in terms of where it was heading. And it was a period of, as I said, real turmoil. And, you know, as an outsider relocating my family from Melbourne to come to Perth to take on this role, I saw a massive opportunity to help build the club, you know, and the next era of the club, if you like, to springboard off, a time of turmoil and use it as an opportunity to rebuild the landscape of the football club. And I think that's what we've done, not me alone, but the team here, the chairman and my management team and the coaching staff and the players, we've developed to build a pretty strong culture. I think since the salary cap drama, we've made the top six finals, if you like, in consecutive years. Last year, we made it to the preliminary final, which was one game out of the grand final, if you like, the semi final rather, one game out of the grand final. So we ended up in third position at the end of the final series. We've doubled our membership in 2 years. Our crowds have grown by double digit in 2 years. You know, and that's because we sat down as a club and developed a brand new four-year strategic plan called the Perth Glory Way, which also has seen us develop a junior academy from under-12s right up, and we're developing some really strong talent. We've also got a women's team, and one of our women, Samantha Kerr, was voted by FIFA in the top 10 footballers in the world. So, things are going swimmingly well, but one thing has eluded us is silverware. and we're pretty keen to find silverware this year. We've got a pretty good squad based on quality, and you know, hopefully that will be there at the end of the year, you know, fighting for a spot in the finals and maybe bring some silverware that's eluded the club in the A-League era, and which will also see us playing in the Asian Champions League. That's the result, that's the objective, and hopefully we can achieve that.
Fantastic. Well, which A-League clubs have set the bar, and are Perth Glory far behind them?
No, I don't think Perth Glory is far behind them at all. I mean, if you look at the talent that Perth has developed, which is sprinkled across the A-League and also throughout Europe, you know, you'll see that you know, Perth actually develops more talent per capita, because we are one of the smaller cities in Australia. You know, and what we've got to do better is find a pathway for players. Unfortunately, you know, we've developed talent, and you know, in the past we've lost them to other clubs, which is something that we're getting better at. And because we've got to provide the opportunity for players to stay here as we develop them, that's the challenge we have, because you've got to weigh up between, you know, experience and young talent emerging, and I think we're getting better at that. And this year we've been able to award two academy players full-time contracts, and, you know, another four scholarship contracts, which is, you know, we're trying to develop the pathway for these kids to stay in Perth. So when you answer that question, I think that, you know, we're one of the top top clubs, one of the top six clubs in Australia. Yeah, we've just got to now, you know, really find the way to success to further build on the foundations. We've got some strong foundations, but I think sustainable success on and off the field will make us even stronger. And, you know, we've had a few hiccups along the way in our A-League history, and I always talk about sustainable success here and sustainable work, and that's what we've got to do without making any more mistakes.
Great stuff. Well, you mentioned attendance earlier, and I believe one of the milestones was set to achieve an average of attendance of, what, 12,500? Now, I know last season's average was 10,533, which was the highest figure since 2005-2006. Now, success on the pitch will naturally attract more people to games, but what is the club doing off the field to put more backsides in seats?
Yeah, well, we've got a big participation base in Perth, Western Australia, so we're focusing our marketing efforts in, you know, to fish where the fish are, if you like. It's a term I like to use. So we're working really closely to engage, connect and engage with a strong participation base of football participants, male and female, boys and girls, and we're trying to get them to the games more and more. And, you know, that's where we're focusing our energies. And then, obviously, you know, once we make them fans, we try and convert them into members. And once we convert them into members, then we work on loyalty to, you know, make sure we retain their membership. And that's the way we've been focusing. You know, success, Perth is a fickle city. You know, they do like, whether it's the AFL or soccer or basketball, you know, they like winners. So, you know, there's an enormous bandwagon effect once, you know, a Perth Western Australian sporting team, you know, experiences success. There's a huge surge of interest, you know, and hopefully if we get the success that we're looking for, that we'll be able to get a surge of interest and then try and connect and engage with those new fans, if you like, and convert them into raving fans and members. So that's our strategy.
Fantastic. Well, I've spoken to a few fans of A-League clubs and former players who've plied their trade in Australia, and they've told me that clubs have underinvested in youth development. Now, you mentioned the Glory Development Centre, which you've been running for 3 years. How successful do you think it's been?
I think if you look at all the national teams, from under 16s right up, we've got representation at every level now, which we're really, really proud of. You know, it's really demonstrated by the number of Perth players playing in the A-League, which is a pretty high number compared to what other clubs have done. So we're definitely developing talent. What we've got to get better at, as like I said to you, is, you know, as we develop that talent, that we retain them. And the way to retain them is to provide them the opportunities in the A-League, because, you know, young players now are getting impatient, and, you know, they want their opportunities because they've got a world at their feet. If they can't get the opportunities in Perth, you know, they'll look for them in other places of Australia, and if not within Australia, they can find them overseas. And that's the landscape we're in now.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, I'm sure you have a vested interest in the English Premier League and saw what happened to Frank de Boer at Crystal Palace. Now, your head coach, Kenny Lowe, has been at the helm for around 4 years. Now, I get the impression that many A-League clubs feel that having a foreign manager will be beneficial in the long run, although I'm sure Graham Arnold and Kevin Muscat have something to say about that, and rightly so. Now, without intentionally putting any heat on Kenny, how do you feel he's done in the 2 years you've been at the club, and has he contributed as much as you'd like to in the four-year plan?
Yeah, I think Kenny, you know, one thing that, you know, I brought to the role as CEO is that I think you can only build success by having consistency and long-term tenures. Certainly, with Kenny approaching his fourth year as an A-League coach, you know, I think that consistency is really important. But having said that, success is also important. And Kenny's played a big part in developing the Perth Glory way and what we're trying to achieve here as a football club. So hopefully we can finish the job together and find that success in the short term.
Fantastic, fantastic. And on a final note, Peter, I know Diego Castro has signed a new contract and he'll be lining up with another familiar name in Andy Keogh. What are the board's expectations for the season?
We want to do better than what we did last year. So we were one game out of the grand final. So hopefully this year we'll feature in the grand final, hopefully win it, and earn our ride in the Asian Champions League.
Great stuff. Well, Peter, thank you ever so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. Before I let you go, would you like to give our listeners maybe some information on how they can get in contact with the club or how to follow the club in any way, like maybe on social media?
Yeah, please go onto Facebook, Perth Glory Football Club, or Twitter, Perth Glory Football Club, or Instagram, or even our website at perthglory.com.au. And please follow our progress. We're building something exciting here. We do have a bit of an English feel at the club. We've got a lot of ex-UK supporters or patriots supporting our club. Perth is one of the biggest cities with UK patronage. Expats, so please follow us. It's a roller coaster ride. And, you know, you'll be surprised with the quality that the A-League presents in football.
Absolutely. Well, Peter, thank you ever so much again for your time, sir, and I hope to have you back on the show at some point.
Anytime, and a pleasure. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. You have a good day, sir.
Thank you, mate. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care.